Grace from the grace of peace, peace from the Prince of Peace, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I go to read this text, I would like to return to the first verse of this hymn we sang. It says, I remember the day so gracious when Jesus found me in my judged state. He found me in this terrible condition, lifted me into his bosom, and took me as his own. My greatest happening took place when I was in armed services. I had lost my childhood faith, but the seed had been planted, and God guided me to other comrades who were believing. And in Lapland, I received the grace of repentance when I learned that there were believers there. He knew my condition. And just like the brother before spoke about the prodigal son, I had nothing else but sin, and I prayed unto the Heavenly Father if he would show me the grace seat, and I would come to the company. I had only one question to a believing boy, that can I, such one, believe my sins forgiven? And since then, God has protected me in this living faith. A couple weeks ago, I had a very stopping moment in my life. I fell unconscious in the bathroom of my home. My wife called the emergency number 112, and I had been taken to the hospital. I had broken even a bone in falling, and I realized how frail a person can be and how one can become unconscious. And we are so gracious and thankful for my wife, along with my wife, about this gift of faith. And in this case, nothing worse happened. I thought I would read for a text to study from the 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. It's first four verses written by Paul. It is one of the texts for Easter, and the words are in Jesus' name as follows. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, amen. Paul here told the Corinthians that faith is an important matter. It is like a covenant or bond onto faith, believing. It is that which connects us to the former believers. tying us to the resurrection, knowing about Jesus' resurrection is also an invitation to us to enjoy this festive, and we can then be joyous over this, and that we would then be guided onto the common faith. We are all been invited to this forgiveness and partakers of the resurrection. And to the Corinthians, it is written to the people in Ephesus, in Ephesus. Paul had written it. It was to the province of Achaia, which was a very prosperous city, and this ungodly life was very prominent in that city. There were false gods being served, and the Greek goddesses were also praised there. And in these ungodly temples, it was also mentioned the whores who lived there. And if they did not repent of this, then nobody would believe. Paul writes about Christ, who has been given for the sake of our sins and had been resurrected for our righteousness' sake. But if Christ had not been risen from the dead, then it would have been in vain. You would still be in your sins. So great was the love of God unto mankind, was that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever that believeth on him need not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Jesus, our Redeemer, died on the middle cross of Golgotha between two thieves, and he announced that, "Unto your hands I commit my spirit." And our dear Savior died a terrible death, but he gave his life into the hands of the Heavenly Father. He was tempted in all, just like us, but without sin. Jesus also understands your temptations, you dear child of God, and he is able to give power unto you and help unto you in the right time. Apostle Paul writes unto the Corinthians of that gospel which he had been proclaiming unto them. Paul had gone to Corinth, and he had proclaimed in the synagogues the gospel, and many had believed it. The gospel was not the gospel of Paul, nor had he invented it. Paul says to the letters of the Corinthians, to the Galatians, he says first, in the midst of the Galatians were such speakers who had tried to turn the gospel, speaking in a different way to put people astray. But that gospel which Paul was preaching was supposedly not from God. But he was preaching of Jesus Christ. The gospel also in Paul's time was also from heaven. It seems so that Paul speaks even too boldly. He acknowledges in this way in the letter to the Galatians that even though we or some angel would preach another gospel than that which we have been preaching, be they cursed. There may be also such people. If that angel would come from heaven, then we might believe more easily. But this gospel has been made known. It has been given unto the children of God. It is the duty of the Holy Spirit. The gospel which Paul preached unto the Corinthians and to many, many others was the living Word. The Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And that Word is still being preached in this world. This gospel has not been invented by man. It has not been invented by Lestadius or Luther. The gospel is a more precious matter. But even though it is from heaven, it travels amongst people, in our mouths, in our hearts, in the, amongst the children of God. Paul says to the Corinthians, I make note unto you, O dear brethren, the gospel which I have preached unto you, which ye have also received, wherein ye stand. Paul acknowledges this, that the gospel believers in Corinth wanted to endeavor and make their journey in the power of the gospel. There is no other power, no other support than the gospel. And he says here, moreover, brethren, that if you stand in that, those children of God endeavored and they believed as putters away of sin when they believed the gospel. What was that gospel? It was the message of Jesus Christ, of that completeness and of that righteousness which came on this earth for our sake, for humans. Paul continues, by which ye are also saved, and ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. Being saved is being joyful. How can your life be joyful? I think many of us have measured this in monetary items. If I had lots of money, I would be fortunate. I would be happy. It has deceived many people. But according to the Word of God, we should have money, but it should not be a temptation. But it also says in the Scriptures, they who want to become rich, they may fall into many snares. The Word of God warns us of covetousness, for we should not think that money only brings us fortune. But the Word of God shows, but God wants to remind us that we need not become rich. For instance, it seems that Jacob thought that he felt it was all his own doing that he was blessed so well, but God had to take a hold of him, and we also might strive for something in our lives. And we, of course, this is okay. We want to go ahead in those tasks which God has assigned or given unto us to perform. Paul writes of this fortune, that the people who believe this gospel are saved and blessed and happy people. In the Psalms, it is written in this way, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are forgiven. This is our foundation for our joy. For Paul writes unto the Romans, that I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power unto whoever believes unto righteousness and salvation. We are fortunate. We are happy people by owning this gospel. In the midst of our life, we might have trials. There might be worries, sorrows, and many things might disturb our minds. And you young ones, you might also think, what might this, my future bring? It is so evil, this world, and dangerous. But when we have been able to own this gospel, Heavenly Father has promised to take care of us. And based upon this foundation, we can securely look on the future. God has promised to take care of our lives, has promised to let us travel ahead in this life like He sees most fitting and God knows best. We do not always have strength to think in this way. On the contrary, we might sometimes even doubt, has God forgotten me? Paul says here that you will be saved unless you perish. It is also possible for us to perish. When we look at the letter to the Galatians, Paul writes that some of you have believed in vain. You have begun in faith, but you have fallen. This means this, that have received the gospel and believed it, but then the enemy has brought another gospel for them to believe. They have gone astray from the correct gospel. And in this way, or this is the reason why Paul says that they have believed in vain. And it is written through the prophet in this way, that when a righteous gives up his righteousness and does evil, then he dies. It is written in the Old Testament. That means this, that when a person gives up their faith, God no longer remembers them. In this way, God forgets them. This means that our former faith has no merit if we have given up our faith. And for this reason, we say unto you who have given up your faith, you have been believing in vain. You are believing wrong today. God is approaching you in His love. He is offering unto you the gospel which is sent from heaven, unto which all has been prepared for you. Paul writes of this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has done all for your sake. Do you have strength to believe this? This is how complete the work has been that God has prepared. Paul says that I have given unto you, which I also have received. That Paul says in this way that the gospel travels amongst the people in this world, like he says here, that which I myself has received, I am offering it unto you. How clearly this is visible here in the life of Paul and its phases. He was not right in going to capture believers, and he had learned very much in the feet of Gamaliel, and he had learned the religion of that day, and he thought that, oh, how hidden the gospel is. He did not understand this even, that if you love your neighbor as yourself, Paul did not understand this in his unbelief. He had with him the authority to capture believers who were gathered in the city. There was no neighborly love in this. But according to the Acts of the Apostles, we remember how Paul was able to experience on that journey. He himself was able to partake of that gospel. And Ananias was able to preach unto him in the city of Damascus. And he was given the gospel to the believing Ananias. He was able to, he had the authority of the Holy Spirit to preach unto the distressed person the gospel of joy, the forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul believed this redemption work which God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, had done. He became a servant of the Word. He was one who had authority. He had the authority given unto him. And this authority is given unto each and every child of God, even the little boys and girls. You have this precious duty in your homes where your mother and father might be in distress. You can preach this gospel of forgiveness. This is a precious matter that we have. This gospel of God, this gospel of joy, which we can proclaim, the freeing gospel, one unto another. It is the gospel sent all the way from heaven. This is what we believe, and it is in our hearts. I have delivered it unto you, like I have received it myself. And then he says, this centermost thing of believing, that Christ has died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. It is very compactly said here, but everything is said. It is very important. Everything that we need for preaching the gospel, even at these services, this gospel has been preached. Paul has repeated here that according to the Scriptures, many have said that in the Old Testament time they believed differently than in the New Testament. There was different kind of faith. But in the Old Testament, there are those portions where we can see that the foundation of faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no other foundation. In already paradise, there was the promise that he shall come and he will crush the head of the serpent. And this word of promise traveled about through the whole Old Testament. It traveled in the mouths of the prophets, and it never was destroyed. Already in the journey in the wilderness, there was many evidences of this, that they believed in the same way than in the first congregation of the New Testament, like we do today. It is that rock from which the people could believe and receive the water for their thirst, and is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a beautiful picture we can see of Jesus Christ in this place, where Moses lifted up the serpent on a rod. Many in that wilderness journey were complaining about the poor food. And in addition to this, they had these fiery serpents which stung them. And when they received very much distress over this sin, they asked Moses to pray for them, pray that God would take away these fiery serpents. And God, and Moses prayed for the children of God. But God asked Moses to raise the serpent on a brass pole or brass serpent on a pole, and whosoever looked upon that serpent was saved. And Jesus, when talking to Nicodemus, he remembers this, and he says that just as Moses lifted up the serpent on the rod in the wilderness, so also the child, the Son of God, shall be raised on a cross. This is the same gospel which has been sent from heaven for our believing. Paul assures the Corinthians how comforting it is and how biblical this is. It is based upon the written word of God, and it also is based on this, of which the apostle says, the word is in your mouth and in your heart. This is the word which we preach. Jesus said that even though all else shall pass away, like many things do pass away, my word will not pass away. This is the word which is in our mouths and in our hearts. It is the word of faith which we preach. And we stop and pause yet for a moment. What is the meaning of this gospel? What is its purpose? It is mostly this, that we, each and every one of us, can have the right to believe. This is not power unto our own strength. It is possible for this reason, only for this reason, that Jesus Christ came on this earth. He performed that complete work for our sake. He atoned the sins of all of us, even the biggest and ugliest sins. And this was possible just by this, that we can believe all of our sins forgiven. We can, as if, throw our sins upon the Lord Jesus. But this was not enough. The Lord Jesus Christ had to yet arise from the dead on the third day for the sake of our righteousness. For this reason, that in this time, even a dead person has the possibility to experience resurrection. They are able to be risen up from the dead condition of sin and experience resurrection, a marvelous thing in this way. In Jesus' name and blood, believe all your sins forgiven. This marvelous matter. Which many of us have been able to experience. This is a simple matter. We should not make it more complicated. Is it possible that in these services we have, that we might be trying to resolve faith matters in some way? But just think how simple it is, or was, in the journey of the wilderness. Simply by looking upon that serpent that was lifted up on the pole, one was saved. Many would say that that was just too easy. But we, who endeavor in our own endeavor of faith, we realize that it is not all that simple. We have many doubts, we have many temptations, trials. Sometimes the road before us is so difficult, and the matters of faith become so manifold, but yet we believe so simply. But we want to simply and childlikely believe. All of our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atonement blood. When we have all of our sins forgiven, we are fortunate and happy people. This is the centermost thing about the gospel. May it be echoing about in our ears and on this earth, there is this gospel. It is the correct gospel according to the scriptures. It is simply this, that the Son of God has atoned for all the sins of the people of this world. You only have to believe this. You are being preached to from the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins in the name and holy atonement blood of Jesus. This is fortunate. We can be happy. We are blessed if we only believe. When God once will call us to heaven, there is only one thing that he will look at. He will look and see if our sins are forgiven. It pays to believe. Let us remain, even now, believing all of our sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, he forgives a person who is asking, in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. Even you, child of God, traveling on this way, in Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Be of good cheer. Dear brothers and sisters, it is comforting to remain believing when we shall see one another on the shores of glory. We have such a good God when he promises to forgive us all of our sins. I myself have had many doubts and trials, temptations. I feel myself so sinful before you. I want to believe. And they bless him. And he says, I want to believe together with you. In this way, we want to remain continuing on this journey, putting away sin as it attaches. Then we can be fortunate people for the sake of Jesus. And in this way, we say so comfortably, in Jesus' name and always blessed name. Amen.